Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have Dave Taylor here with me, who co-founded InFront Marketing, which is a Calgary-based digital marketing agency, which he started in 2015. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about Dave's story around starting his agency and, you know, some initiatives that he takes for growing his agency, how he brings in more leads, closes those prospects, and also any challenges that he's had to overcome along the way and how he's overcome those challenges. So thanks so much for joining us today, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Julia. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, so to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
Oh, that's a great question, actually. I think, you know, for me, it's freedom. I think, you know, owning a business really is, it's important to have work-life balance, and and owning an agency has given us that. It's something that we really try to pass on to our employees and the people who are here as well. It's really important for us to understand that everyone here, you know, for the most part, has kids and has a life outside of the business, and allowing some of that freedom, it kind of reduces the burnout. So we talk a lot about making sure people are using their vacation days, or making sure that you have a, you know, a day off if you need it, or freedom to pick up your kids from the bus. It really is, you know, a part of everyday life and a part of our business. It's just really important keeping that communication open with them and keeping that balance going for sure.
Yeah, I think that's so important. You know, you hear all the time, you know, this hustle culture now that we're kind of surrounded with. And I think it is really important to work hard. And obviously as an entrepreneur and agency owner, you know, you're going to be working harder than your team. But I think, you know, you've got to play the long game. You've got to make sure you're not neglecting yourself, and creating a healthy culture within your agency, I think, is so important.
Yeah. And you'll hear me talk about it a lot. I think that mental health is so important, and we're very fortunate to work in an industry where the work truly speaks for itself. So whether you're at the office or at home, or, you know, sitting in a restaurant plugged into the Wi-Fi, at the end of the day, you can get the work done, and the deliverables are really transparent. So making sure that people have that freedom and the flexibility to perform the work wherever they need to do it. I can tell you, you know, how many meetings I've taken just in a parking lot somewhere, just because I simply needed to be somewhere else, whether it's to meet a client or to pick up my kids or just get something done. And we're lucky to live in this type of a world that the work can get done anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
Actually, I totally fell into it. I've always been a sales guy. I've worked a lot of different jobs. I worked, you know, managing a number of different stores where I was responsible for building a lot of ad campaigns on behalf of the business. And at some point I got recruited by the Yellow Pages and went through their training program. And I worked there for quite a while. I would say I just kind of had a knack for it. As a kid, I had two dreams, and it was not your typical police officer, firefighter, astronaut. It was like, I'm going to own a car dealership, or I'm going to be in advertising. And I don't know where the advertising came from as a kid, but it was there. And I look back on it and I just go, it's funny. At 21 years old, I had this idea that I was going to own a company with my roommate called the Marketing Guys. And although that never happened, before I turned 30, I opened my own agency with somebody at the time who had become my best friend and still is. So, you know, it wasn't the path I thought I was going to take at 21, but it was the right path for sure.
Yeah, that's so interesting that even as a kid, you had that calling towards, it was just a general interest of yours.
Yeah, and who knows where it came from, right? Like my great-grandfather was an auctioneer running his own business. My grandfather was a real estate agent. My dad was a politician. And I don't know, growing up in a small town where advertising agency owner pops into your brain, but it did for sure. And it was something that kind of always stuck with me. So although I was, you know, not headed into marketing in any way, shape or form, I was in sales. It took right away for me once I fell into the industry.
Yeah. Okay. So you were around 30 when you started in front marketing. So
yeah, 29. It was a part of my 30 bucket list for sure.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about, you know, what was that deciding factor to start the agency and what it was like in those early days?
So anybody that knows me has heard the story a million times, but it's a fun one to tell because at the end of the day, it was about reputation, and it was personally for me about making sure that I did something that really elevated my own personal reputation. Mm-hmm. I was working for a corporation selling advertising and being, you know, the consultant and helping people understand digital media. And I just ran up against a lot of these roadblocks where there was no tracking. There was no ability to report ROI. There was no accountability. It was quite simply run some ads, you get some impressions, you get some clicks, and the business owner had to tell us, you know, is that enough? Did that work for you? What's going on in the business? And are you willing to do it again? Mm-hmm. And so I left the corporate world to go to a small agency. And, you know, through the interview process, it was a lot of promises made about, yeah, we can do that. We're going to do this better. We're going to track everything. We're going to, you know, help you build better relationship with your clients. And so I went to every single one of my clients and I shook their hands and I said, I'm leaving my job, but I'm going to be at an agency. I'll be back. And so I went to this agency and I went back to my clients and I said, I'm here now. I've jumped ship. This is where I am. I want to continue the relationship. And, you know, 3 months in working with that agency, I realized that most agencies are doing the same thing, that they're not tracking anything, that they want to sell really expensive websites just because somebody's in a specific industry where they make a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And it was just a lot of smoke and mirrors. And so I decided to leave. And at that point, I knew in the back of my head that if I started my own business, that would elevate my relationship with my clients and my reputation. And it was really important to me to not lose those relationships. And I felt like if I go to another agency or I go to another corporate job and I just shake their hands again and say, here I am, I'm back, it would just totally trash my relationships and my reputation. And so I took a total chance on myself. I went back to waiting tables, you know, working in the evening just to pay the rent. And mm-hmm. And it took about 2 years really to get the business going, but we had a really good foundation of clients who had given us an opportunity to just get our feet wet, understand how we were going to build the company, give us a shot, spend some money with us and help us put some revenue into the business. And then 2 years of grinding it out, I was able to, you know, quit waiting tables and really just focus on the business. And like I said, it all goes back to just making sure that I was making the right steps personally. But really just the ultimate goal was to give any client that trusted me a better understanding of what happens if they're going to run an ad campaign, if it's with me, are they going to get some transparency? Are they going to see a result? Are they going to be able to track something? Mm-hmm. And, you know, luckily we made a lot of the right moves at the beginning.
Interesting. Okay. So you just wanted to give them a little bit more clarity behind, you know, what was being done for them. Ensure you were just delivering the best results possible and what would make sense for their business as well. And so you guys were really lucky that you had that, you know, established client base when you were starting out. So how did you continue to grow the agency from there and continue to bring new leads in?
I think it was listening to our customers, really. You know, we started just selling programmatic banner ads, just targeting people based on really specific behaviors and really specific interests. And then, you know, ultimately tracking that to a point of sale and showing revenue to our clients. And that gave us an in to the door that, you know, that that ultimate tracking to revenue was something that a lot of businesses weren't doing. You know, it's 2022. I started the business in 2015. You know, my business partner was the director of online operations for a large corporation and since 2008. And really, we were pushing to get a better understanding and clarity whenever you run a digital ad since then that we weren't getting in the corporate world. And so, so when we were able to do that, it gave us an in to work with clients. And then we just listened to them and tried to figure out where their pain points were. And ultimately we wanted to stop them from going to other agencies for, you know, Google Ads management, social media content creation, Facebook ads, even just building relationships and partnerships to buy, you know, ads on transit or billboards or TV or radio. We wanted to make sure that we could offer them a single one-stop solution that that we didn't have to open ourselves up for competition, but also that we could just give a single point of contact to our clients and then just trying to figure out, do we need to hire somebody to help us internally do this, or can we do a lot of this on our own? And so at the beginning, it was partnerships all the way, trying to find the right strategic partnerships to align our business with to accomplish, you know, a good social media manager or a good ads manager. And then over time, we just started hiring and filling those positions so we could do it all internally. But it was just ultimately just the path was drawn by paying attention to what our clients needed and where their money was going. And if they were having trouble hiring somebody internally, it was very much, we can do that, we can help, and if we can't, we're going to figure out how, and we did. Just,
interesting.
You know, plugging somebody in front marketing will help you, and you know, we don't work on retainer. It's 100% based on the campaign or the deliverable, and we make it really, really easy for clients to come in the door here and pick a service off the shelf and for us to go to work.
Okay, interesting. So what are some ways that you've worked to maintain happy clients who are going to help bring in those referrals for you down the road?
I think, you know, just being able to give them something back. Most agencies, from my understanding, lose clients within 18 months. That's the general cycle. You have a client for a year to a year and a half. And then they decide they want to try something new. They want to get better results. Their relationship isn't working. They need better creative, whatever it is. We've had some clients with us for over 6 years. We've had lots of clients with us for 3, 4, or 5 years. We're a small size agency, but we have 75 plus clients. We don't want to be the largest agency on the block, but we want to be able to offer a lot of the same stuff that the large agencies do. And we want to try our best not to work with competitors, which I think really keeps people with us. We're not, I'm never going to say we want to work with every realtor. We want to work with every dentist. It's let's find somebody that's doing well within the industry that needs some help. And then we can just say, let's take a really hard look at what your competition is doing. What are your customers hearing in the market? And how do we give you a little bit of an edge? What can we do that's different? How can we give access? And then how can we give you transparency when there's something to report on? And so I think it's that that keeps clients with us, is that we're working inside their business. We're not just working with them and working with everybody else that competes against them. We are 100% working with them to give them a little bit of an edge in the business. And we're just transparent. We like to talk to them and see what's going on. We like to take them out and have a little bit of fun, whether it's, you know, go play golf or to a hockey game, you know, for dinner, whatever it is. It's just, it's fun for us to share some time with them outside of work and build relationships. And really, like I said, you'll hear me say that over and over. It's relationships for us that keep people coming in the door.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like you've really positioned yourself as, you know, their partner. And I like that you guys don't serve their competition as well, because, you know, if you were to put yourself in the shoes of your client, you know, it wouldn't feel right to be working with someone who's doing your marketing that's also working with all your competitors in the area. It doesn't feel right. So I think that's really cool.
And it's a total catch 22, because I'll tell you, you know, and how many clients say, what's your experience in this industry? You know, who else are you working with? And,
yeah,
and it's
true.
Like, do you want to know because you want me to be working with your competition, or mm-hmm. do you want to know because you don't? And so we have no issues, you know, sharing a client name unless there's an NDA in place, which is typically just based on the results of a campaign, not based on the relationship. So we have no issue sharing a name and then letting the client decide whether or not they're comfortable working with us and knowing that we're going to be working with somebody else. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's, if we're in that space, we don't want to be working in that space. And I, you know, I come from the Yellow Pages. I had 700 clients a year that were all in different industries, and you just get a really good look at what other people are doing. And let's be honest, everybody has access to the same platforms: Google, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, YouTube, billboards, TV, radio, sponsorships, mm-hmm. events. So we just have to decide, how do these platforms affect the audience specifically looking for a service? And then we go, okay, what is the intent of your audience? Where do they focus that intent? And then how much awareness does your product need? Is there awareness of this product? Are there other people selling this product? Because if there's awareness, then you just go all in on the intent, and you don't have to waste the money, you know, mm-hmm. just telling people what a product is and what it does. So I think that's given us a really good understanding of how to position somebody away from their competition and how to really mm-hmm. focus and hone in on the intent of an audience and effectively spend money for somebody that doesn't matter what industry they're in. And, we've got some that it's easier. It's easier to, you know, sell a certain product or tickets to an event than it is to sell a relationship for a business coach. But as long as you can understand the intent behind the, like, what a customer needs, then you can figure out a way to access them. And then you just have to figure out, how long does it take them to learn about a business, do some research, compare, and then buy something, and then make sure that your client is with them through that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. And so I'm really curious to know, you know, what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown in front marketing, and how you've overcome that challenge?
You know, I'll say two, because obviously the easy one is COVID, and we're, you know, we've been working through a pandemic, and we lost a ton of money in the first, you know, 3 months of this pandemic, March 2020 to June. And then we doubled our revenue by the end of the year in 2020. And it was take your agency hat off and be a friend. And we reached out to everybody we knew, client or not. You know, we used LinkedIn a lot just to check in on people. How are you doing? How's your family? What's going on? How's your mm-hmm. business? Are you still open? What are your challenges, and how do we help you? And I walked into John's office and I said, you know, buckle up. We can either decide today to close the business, or we can put our foot down and we can help people. Mm-hmm. And we knew that it was going to lead to opportunity. The biggest challenges always lead to the biggest opportunities. And you have to look at that and go, okay, what are we going to do to survive? We were really lucky. We've been really frugal. We built the business without, you know, taking a lot of money out of it. We made sure we've always had working capital in the bank that we could survive a downturn. Lots mm-hmm. and lots of agencies go all in with a big client. You get one big client, you hire a bunch of people, and then all of a sudden things are good. And then you hit that 1 year mark, they've sent out an RFP, they've gone to another agency, and they've left you. And now you've got the overhead of a new office, you've got the overhead of a bunch of employees, and you've got no mm-hmm. revenue coming in. We've always been open doors to small to medium businesses, because they provide a foundation for good, solid revenue, good margins, and just a lot of work. And then we have some really big clients and some medium clients that just support the growth and a, you know, a larger revenue stream for the business. Yep. And so we can afford to lose one small, big, whatever, and continue to grow and continue to look for new clients and not feel the stress of, yeah, we lost one. What are we going to do? It's, we lost one. It happens. Let's figure out why we lost it. And then let's go figure out what we can do better and find someone else to support the business. And, and then the other one is it follows kind of the same trend, but it's just trying to figure out when you hire somebody else to support the growth.
Ooh, that's
of the
a
business.
Good one. Yes.
Because
that's a tricky one.
It's really tricky, right? Because how much work can people handle is without going over the edge is a part of it. And you have to be transparent with your employees to say, we're going to push a little bit to figure out where the breaking point is. You know, if you're managing 5, 6, 7, 8 social media accounts, what number does it get to the point where now we've got to hire someone to support you? And, you know, we've got 75 clients, most of which are running Google ad campaigns. And at what point does our Google ad manager hit capacity and do we need to support and hire another one? So, you know, it's nice to be in a position to hire support for those people and ask them, you know, do you need support? Does it make sense for the business to hire somebody? And then being able to do that is great. And then we include them in the interview process, although they don't necessarily get the say of who do we hire. They get to sit with the candidates and provide a little bit of feedback to us. And we get to understand the dynamic because they're sitting side by side. You know, they're going to be working together on different accounts. They're going to be sharing ideas. And so our interview process is essentially, you know, it's three steps. You meet me, you meet John, and then you meet us and the team together.
Okay.
And then we decide on the candidate. And I learned that we had some really good mentors in the corporate world that showed us the right way to interview people and the right way to hire people. And I think the right way to treat people. So, you know, although we left the job for different reasons, we didn't leave because of the management team. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's some really good ways and some really bad ways to hire people. And I think we found a really good solution for it. But you know, COVID was a huge kick in the teeth that we surmounted and grew from, and we've managed to plug some great people into the office to help us grow. And, and I think at the right time for the most part, it's been at the right time. We pushed ourselves pretty hard at the beginning to do it without help. But you gotta figure it out, you know, when's the right time.
Yeah. I think those are two really great points. So making sure you're diversifying the types of clientele that you're working with, not working with too many big clients that when you lose one, you're really going to feel it. And then also finding that balance of when to hire and balancing, you know, and also rather having that transparency with your team. I think that's really important so that they feel like they're part of the process and they're not, you know, getting burnt out and feeling overwhelmed. They know that they're being heard and that you guys are aware that, yeah, right now you might have a little bit more on your plate, but it's, you know, you guys are in the process of hiring someone.
That's right. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So where do you see InFront Marketing in 5 years' time? What are your goals?
Just to continue steady growth. I think, like I said, I don't think that we really want to be the largest agency, but we do want to keep growing in the same path that we have. We want to pick up some more clients in the US. I think that, you know, Canadian companies have a lot to offer, from the agency side to US customers. Yeah. Our dollar, the exchange rate isn't good, but that's a good thing for American companies who want to work with us.
Exactly.
We provide a fresh set of eyes. Sometimes we have access to all the same platforms. And I think, you know, a lot of agencies, you know, they think local, and it's great to support local, and we will always support local, but it does open it up to use your skills that, like I said, we don't want to work with competitors. That doesn't mean we can't leverage our experience within the industry to work with people that are similar to our clients across Canada or across the US.
Yes.
So we have some pretty aggressive revenue goals coming into the next 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have any goals of leaving the business or taking myself out of the business. Although, you know, at some point down the road, we know that'll present itself in some way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. But all in all, just, you know, we've got a trajectory and we know what that is internally and you know, a couple big clients along the way can make all the difference in the world, but we'll always support the small to medium guy to make sure that growth just stays consistent.
Okay. Very good. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but before we do that, we're going to move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
You know, I'm going to take this time just to plug a client because I think it's really relevant. Okay. We work with an author out of Regina, Saskatchewan, and her name is CJ Katz. And she wrote a cookbook during COVID that was really timely. And more than just recipes, it told the stories of what people did with their families and how food brought them together through just a brutal time. It's called One Bowl at a Time and One Loaf at a Time. It's two-sided. It's got two entry points and just different focus of you know, soups versus sandwiches sort of thing. And I love CJ. I've always had a great time chatting with her. She's a little bit of a local celebrity, and she's a TV host of a cooking show. And hearing her talk about, you know, just the stories that she was able to put into that book made a huge impact on me. And you know, it's a book that we keep here and share with people. So it's not the personal self-help sort of book. It's the personal storytelling that I really love.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like a great read. And I'm so glad you shared that. And then, so what does your morning routine look like?
Well, I have kids, so my routine is definitely different than everybody else's. And my wife will be the champion of the household for sure, getting the kids ready for school so that I simply just have to take them to the bus. Mm-hmm. But our household is busy. You know, we have a boy who's almost turning 8, another who's 5, and a daughter who's 8 months old. And it's a busy place. Mm-hmm. But between that and the, you know, the 25 emails I get before 9 a.m. and the 10 phone calls and just, you know, trying to make sure that we're on track to start the day right. I think, you know, it's not the same every day. The only consistency I have is, you know, 5 or 10 minutes to hang out with my kids in the car before they hit the bus. And I love that time.
Yeah.
I'm not a big breakfast guy. I usually don't eat till 2 or 3 in the afternoon because I'm just busy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't eat till dinner and then I have horrible eating habits at night. But, you know, you'll find me with a Red Bull or a Rockstar in my hand because I don't drink coffee. So I'm just go from the second I get up. I don't waste a lot of time. I just want to, you know, hit it and go. And then, you know, then I'm back at 4 to pick them up from the bus again. So it's a packed schedule right from the second my eyes open for sure. But I'll, you know, all day long, I'll give my wife a pat on the back because she really does get the house going every day.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I've been thinking about this one and that this is something that I think is really relevant to our industry. And so I started following a guy for 2 reasons. There's a gentleman with my same name. His name's David Taylor. He's the CEO of Procter & Gamble. And I started following him because people started asking me, Procter & Gamble just pulled $120 million in digital ad spend. Do you think that's going to hurt your industry? And so I started following him and I started listening to why he was pulling that investment. And it fell back directly to why we started our business. It wasn't because he didn't believe in digital advertising. It's because he was not getting transparency on the money that they were spending. And they had no idea what that money was doing for the business. So they didn't ultimately stop spending that money. They reallocated it. And they changed agencies and they just got a better look at how that money was being spent. Because I think you know, nothing's truer than the bigger the company, the more money they're wasting, because they get taken for a ride, and, you know, they have big budgets. So it's easy for them to say, as long as I spend the money, I'm happy. As long as we're getting into the market, I'm happy. Top of mind awareness is important. Branding is important. But if you're not weighing that against sales in any way, shape, or form, you know, how do you justify spending that money year over year over year? Yeah. And so I started following him, you know, for a couple of different reasons. Yeah, I love that we share the same name. We've connected on LinkedIn, and you know, I'm sure I'm just a small fish in a huge pond, you know, for a guy like that. But it was just something that was brought to my attention, and it ultimately, it felt like, I'd noticed that we were doing the right things, because an issue popped up with a big company in our industry that we were already working to solve those problems for our clients. And so that's the story.
I love it. That's so interesting. And then, so what is your favorite online tool?
We use ClickUp a lot. We just started putting ClickUp into our business. I just traveled to the US, and it's funny, there's ads for ClickUp everywhere. So I think they were new to us, but I think they've been around quite a lot. We had some other agencies and some partners that were using it, and it solves a lot. It's a great communication tool for our clients. It's great for scheduling work and workflow and just keeping us on task and keeping things on time and just, you know, for us to understand when the work has been completed by somebody, or if there's something that's missing. It's a great tool. I would recommend ClickUp to anybody for sure.
Perfect. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That I wasn't too young to do it. I always kicked myself and said, you know, I'm not ready, or someone's not going to take me seriously because I'm young, or I look young, or whatever, you know, the kids will age me now. But at the end of the day, it was like, I always had that thought in the back of my head, you got to be a little bit older to do things. And so now we have kids coming in the office all the time that are fresh out of high school, that have just graduated, and they want to have a conversation. They've been tasked to ask agencies, like, what's the industry look like? What does getting a job in the industry look like? What does the outlook for the future look like? And I just always tell people, the more you can start learning now, it'll just give you an opportunity. Build a couple of websites, you know, find somebody that needs a service, you know, that they don't necessarily have the budget to pay a large company or an agency for, and see if you can help them. Because it'll go a really, really long way into starting your career. And at 29, you know, that still felt young to me to be starting a business, but it ultimately was the right time for me in my life. I was just at a really good place in my life to do it. But I would tell anybody now, get the education, you know, whether it's a 2-year diploma or a 4-year degree, and just start hustling on the side. You know, we got kids that are starting Amazon stores in high school, you know, they're selling chocolate bars, whatever they're doing, they're starting their own business. They've got an entrepreneurial mindset. Don't be afraid to say, I know what I'm doing and I know how to do this, and get a little bit of education so that you can prove that you've taken the steps to get yourself all the tools you need to move your life and your situation forward. And then don't be afraid to prop yourself up a little bit and say, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm here to help. And then just ultimately go out and try to help people. There's a lot of agencies. We're not scared of any competition because there's so much work out there. And at the end of the day, if you go out with the mindset, I just want to help people some way, shape, or form grow their business or get a better understanding of what they're doing, then you can be successful for sure. You can be a one-man show doing advertising and marketing and websites, or you can, you know, hire a team. There's a lot of opportunities in this space. For sure.
Yeah,
regardless
of
how old you are.
Yeah. I love the abundance mindset. It's so true. There's so much work out there for everyone. And I also love that tip for, you know, anyone who's thinking of, you know, entering the industry as well, you know, do the work on the side, but while you're going to school or working or whatever. because like you mentioned, you know, your work is going to speak for itself. So you just got to build up that portfolio. So yeah, I think those are two great tips.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dave. It was a pleasure to learn about your journey of entrepreneurship and your journey of starting In Front Marketing. So thank you again for joining me for today's episode.
Yeah, and thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.